Stop drinking, Carol. Hit the button. Oh. Is it a fake button? Oh, okay.
She's supposed to start drinking and then put
the bottle. Oh. Never get that order, sir.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock. Hmm.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord,
hello,
Carol the Cat,
Hufflepuff's Rule,
the Giddy Geeker,
woo,
and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is straight of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, not subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
All right, episode 152.
Woo!
Wowzers! David and Chris are here, but before anything, you guys can get comfortable.
Yeah, right. Before we let you get comfortable, we're going to launch right into the rapid fire response round. I'm about to ask you a series of questions. We ask you, which you have handpicked your own torture. We're going to ask you to answer with a short word or phrase. If you do not come up with an answer, we will answer for you. And our answer is
stripper pole.
And Tipples will be keeping the stripper pole count. So
we're
shall
huge
we get
showgirls
begin?
Fans here.
All right. Chris, planes, trains, or automobiles?
Planes.
Okay.
David, would you rather be transported to the world of Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead?
Game of Thrones.
What is your theme song, Chris?
Ace of Spades, Motorhead.
Who is your favorite Superman actor?
Christopher Reeves.
What place would you like to travel to see?
Las Vegas, again.
What superpower would you not like to have?
I want them all. I don't know. You might as well just say stripper pole.
Stripper pole. Okay. What is your primary fandom?
X-Men.
Stripper. So close.
Stripper X-Men.
Wait a minute.
That's a great subset. Yeah.
All right. David, who's your favorite good guy?
Batman.
And who's your favorite bad guy?
That one requires a lot more thought, so yeah. Again, just go ahead and go and say stripper pole.
Stripper pole.
Let's
move
it on a stripper pole.
What is your favorite cuss word?
Motherfucker.
Who is your favorite Doctor Who companion?
I have never once watched Doctor Who.
So you wouldn't know who was your least favorite either. No. All right.
Stripper pole and stripper pole. That counts as two, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were the two best.
I'm going for it, man. Okay, if you could be anything, would you rather be Batman?
Yes.
Okay. That question just needs to go away.
It does.
All right. If you couldn't live in the U.S., where would you want to live?
Ireland.
Okay. So we are giving you guys both one day's notice. We're going to stick you on a stranded island in the middle of the ocean. And we're handing
tomorrow.
You each a solar-powered, battery-packed iPad. So think wisely. What book would you stick on there to read over and over again?
Oh.
Or
oh, go ahead, Dave.
No, by all means.
I'm going to go with Watership Down, Richard Adams.
All right.
Fiverr.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with The Stand, Stephen King.
All right. What musical album?
All right. Motorhead box set. Or if it's just one CD, no remorse.
We've allowed a box set. All right. How about you, musical album?
Bare Naked Ladies, Stunt.
That's a first,
I think.
All right, movie or movie series?
Who wouldn't choose a series?
We don't usually allow it. People just
but
ask.
But people usually say Lord of the Rings, and we're just including all three movies in that.
Yeah, or all
it's, you know,
six
17,000 hours.
All right, series, then it would be the Rob Zombie catalog of films.
Okay.
Star Wars, the original. Trilogy.
And what game that you could play on a tablet?
Right now, I say right now, but more like the last 6 months, I've been addicted to Marvel Future Fight.
Oh.
Hmm. I'm kind of a simple guy, Candy Crush.
All right, there you go. So you have survived, or made it through, I guess, the rapid fire response round. And what was our stripper pole count?
Four and a half.
Four and a half. half. I think that's an all-time high.
It is.
That's how I roll.
Congratulations. All right.
Well,
so
I don't do anything half
assed. Who the hell are you and what are you doing in our house?
All right, so
one of these days somebody's gonna say, "Well, I was on the street corner and I just
that's right. I wandered in. I saw a sign.
Your door was unlocked.
The door was unlocked.
You're gonna fix the stripper
pole. There was a lot of cool shit in here in the stripper pole." So
actually, the previous Geek Gala headquarters, there were marks of an old stripper pole. Anyway, moving on.
We're here for Shakespeare, Carolina, right? And we are your typical 501c. Well, we're not typical, but 501c3 theater company. We specialize in Shakespeare and the classical canon, so that includes like the ancient Greeks, Christopher Marlowe, and when we veer from Shakespeare, we tend to go towards classic literature. We've done Picture of Dorian Gray, Frankenstein.
Tartuffe,
yeah, Molière. We do have a resident Frenchman in the company, and so we've done a couple of Molières. And we like to do it differently, right? We don't do men in tights.
Or powdered wigs.
Or what have you. Mm-hmm. We tend to go towards, I guess, a more artistic presentation is a better way of putting that.
Mm-hmm. Avant-garde.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So when did you guys get involved in Shakespeare Carolinas?
Okay, well, I started it. I started this mess.
So it's all on you.
20 years ago, in 1997. Wow. And I was a long story short, because there's no such thing as a short story with me, but I was a returning college student. I was a 30-year-old freshman, so that was in 95. So a couple years in, the opportunities to do Shakespeare and classic stuff in college were kind of limited because they kind of rotated through different genres and whatnot. And me and some friends, through the Rock Hill Community Theater, put on an outdoor production of The Taming of the Shrew, and it was really successful. And Rock Hill Community Theater wasn't too high on doing the outdoor theater thing, so a couple of the principals in that and I got together and said, all right, we're going to do this like kind of full time. Started out one show a year, then it got to be two, then it got to be three, and now we do four shows a year, plus little side projects that we're going to talk about. One of them we're going to talk about in a bit. That's how I got started. And
I knew Chris as far back as when I was a student at Winthrop, but I didn't actually get involved with Shakespeare Carolina until 2012, when Chris and I started bouncing around incorporating multimedia into theater productions, which is something that I kind of specialize in. So we collaborated on that, and I stuck around, and that's been 5 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and David acted for us, directed for us, has done like production video work for theater productions, that kind of stuff. So
nice.
He's a useful asset.
That's right.
That's how they suck you in.
That's right.
Yeah.
So is Winthrop a lot of the breeding ground for the group, would you say, or just
breeding?
Yeah, any given show, the majority of people involved, or a large portion, let's say that, are Winthrop alum or students.
Okay.
I just have this image of, like, every sex scene in Shakespeare breeds another actor for the troupe. Well, how did you say that? Anyway.
I think I saw your boobs, and I was just like...
I'm sorry.
I was like, no, you're my wife. I was like, Papa like, sure. Come There's
Stop
a subliminal
that,
thing. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So,
yeah, welcome to the podcast. Yep. We get this every week.
Now, here's are you too dumb hot? We don't talk about my boobs, actually.
No.
No, that's usually every other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So back to Shakespeare, Carolina.
Yeah. So even though you guys are located out of Rock Hill, quite a few of your performances each year happen to be in the Charlotte proper area. So
that's right. Yeah, we straddle the line between North Carolina and South Carolina. We do two of our shows a year in Charlotte at the Duke Energy Theater. We've got a great relationship with Spirit Square and NCBPAC that runs all that, North Carolina Blumenthal Performing Arts Center. We're a resident company there, so we get incentives for performing there. And then we do a residency in the summertime at Winthrop when the buildings are empty and not being used. And oh, so
that's perfect.
Right, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a really great deal, and for us, and for, you know, Winthrop, and for Winthrop students. Our summer shows tend to have more Winthrop students mm-hmm. in them than the spring shows, because in the springtime they're busy studying.
Right, right. In finals and all that
stuff. Right, yeah. Right.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah, we caught a Tartuffe, and it was, I was blown away. It's the first time I'd seen one of your shows, and it mm-hmm. was just fantastic. But I wouldn't say it was I'm trying to figure it out, but I guess it wasn't a modern presentation, but it was definitely more modern than mm-hmm. than
the original language.
The original, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the adapter of that particular piece is a guy named Tim Mooney, who's one of the country's like foremost Molière experts.
Oh, okay.
And I looked into him when we did The Misanthrope a couple of years ago.
Oh, you did too? Okay.
When, awesome. Through his agent, found out that we had purchased the rights to do it, okay. He Facebooked me. And like, hey man, I'm going to be in your area while you guys are rehearsing. Do you mind if I stop in?
Do we mind?
Fuck no, dude. You know? And he came in and for the price of a beer and a pizza, did a workshop in, you know, his style, and he's a performer, travels to fringe festivals doing one-man Shakespeare and Molière plays. Whoa. Yeah, no, he's crazy, in a good way.
Yeah.
You want to talk about geek? This guy is, like, geeked on Molière and Shakespeare and all that. So he came in and he did this workshop, and so when we were decided to do Tartuffe, I pushed Manu, who directed Tartuffe for us, to use the Mooney adaptation of it, because then you've got free access to this guy.
Yeah.
He came in, did a workshop with the actors, you know, like an all-day workshop for the actors,
right.
You know, giving pointers and everything like that. And so, you know, it's relationships like that, you know, that kind of make... So what you saw, right, is an updated version of the language so that people like you and I can understand what the hell they're saying. But it keeps the intent, the story, and the poetry of what Molière wrote,
right?
You know, in the 1600s, you know, in France.
It was still all in rhyme. It mm-hmm. was just
right.
modern rhyme.
I definitely could understand it, because I remember, I think I was only 12, and I had to read The Misanthrope and mm-hmm. hated it. The version, the right. translation I had, I honestly hated it. But then when I was like 16, read a better translation, and I was a little bit mm-hmm. older, and I could comprehend it, and mm-hmm. I fell in love with it, and it's like, it's amazing. So,
and I think, you know, as well as Shakespeare too, but like you know, with Tartuffe and The Misanthrope, which are the two Molières that we've done over the years, they're universal. The themes, the topics are just as relevant, you know, today as they were, especially Tartuffe.
Oh,
you know, religious fakery and, you know, and hiding behind pomposity and all that. You know, I think it so doing it in modern day dress didn't take away, I don't believe, take away from the story, you know, or the production.
Not at all. And not at all.
Will you guys share what the kind of modern thing you put in there? I guess it's not really a spoiler, since
it's not, the show's over. Yeah. So a representative of the king shows up to tie everything up in a neat little bow, and we may have had a cameo of Donald Trump.
Yes. It was awesome.
Incredible likeness it was.
Yeah, yeah. And the actor, and the actor who played him, Ted Patterson, crushed it.
Yeah.
You know, he really did. He really did.
And I was so unexpected, but mm-hmm. it did, like you said, it did, you know, dovetail in there perfectly because of what's going on. It was like,
Well, even like the visuals that you used throughout, the props that you used throughout, mm-hmm. certainly helped too. The political signs obviously give it that modern spin, but yet it's still appropriate to the context. It wasn't like you were switching something around. So, you know, I thought that was all great.
Yeah, and the lighting was one of those highlights for me too, where it just, because you had kind of which I really am a big fan of, kind of the sparse staging, but I'm a huge fan of that. But the lighting was really important, I think, and it really succeeded, I thought.
Charles did do the lights for that.
So the actor who played Tartuffe was also the light designer.
Mm-hmm. He spotted himself so well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. And Charles is actually, didn't he coordinate, choreograph They Fight? Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
He adapted and choreographed They Fight, which is, I guess you would say it's Shakespeare Caroline's first original.
Yeah, we loved it. Carol and I saw it last year. That's right.
And
that's
how we met Katie.
We like accosted her. We like to accost people. We do. We just walk up to people afterwards. Come talking to our microphone.
It'll be fine. We're going to take you around the corner.
Charles has been talking to me and other people about this for a couple of years. You know, and he was putting it together and working on it. And he's like, I got this idea. And you know, it always sounded great to me. Last spring we had we had a show planned. It didn't turn out the way we wanted to, and we couldn't do the show. And I don't know if you guys know this, that saw it 14 days before the show we had planned was supposed to open. I called Charles and we had a meeting, and I said, do you think They Fight would be ready in 2 weeks? And he said, why the hell not? And so we did that all in 2 weeks. Now, the writing and adapting, obviously, you know, and they had been working, you guys had been working on the fights for quite some time.
About 2 years at that point.
Right.
Everything that you saw on stage was choreographed except one fight. And that was put together in those 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think it was written already, but the two performers hadn't started rehearsing it until 2 weeks prior.
Was that the Coriolanus fight?
That was Macbeth.
The Macbeth, okay.
Yeah, that was Dawes and Charles.
That's not a long time to block that.
No, it's not.
But
oh my gosh.
And Ted Patterson was in one of those fight scenes as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was more the modern-day Roman Greco one, right?
Yeah, Ted and his brother Zay.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they were used to fighting each other, so.
Yeah, because when he got up on the table at Tartuffe, I was like, that's the guy.
Right, right.
That was like... So who it was? Was his brother that?
Are you talking about the wrestling match?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The very big guy.
Yeah.
That was
very...
Zayd Patterson, Ted's brother,
and David Hayes.
Yeah. We call Zayd the human slinky.
Yes.
And David Hayes is a former professional wrestler.
Yes. So imagine like big, you know, Ted Bundy kind of, you know. Junkyard Dog.
King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, King Kong Bundy. Sorry.
That took a totally weird turn there.
Imagine Ted Bundy wrestling.
Well, you know.
But you want to hide the nurses.
King Kong Bundy. And then maybe, you know, Peter Dinklage, but a little bit taller.
Slightly taller. Yeah.
Doing a fight scene.
And a little hairier. But,
but you know what I'm saying. It was that kind of contrast, and they did a great, amazing job. We just loved the whole thing.
We did.
The whole show was great. Which is why Carol, as programming director, immediately said,
hey, I contacted Charles. I'm like, hey, you want to come and do something for Con Carolinas?
Yeah.
So he's going to, you guys are going to come next weekend to Con Carolinas and do a little 10 a.m. Saturday morning main programming. Come see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun.
Fight scenes.
Yes, fight
scenes.
Right.
Fights.
Is that going to be one
swords.
Of the fight scenes?
Yes.
Okay, so you can see what I'm saying.
As You Like It wrestling match will be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hamlet versus Laertes from Hamlet will be in there. Tybalt versus Mercutio from Romeo and Juliet will be in there. And the opening melee for Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Yay. Ted Bundy versus Jeffrey Dahmer? Or?
Yes.
Don't look in the refrigerator.
So they're usually good tonight.
But boobs.
Oh my god. So, do you want to go on to what your next
performance
is?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We are doing Macbeth.
Whoa.
Shakespeare's one and only horror movie. And that opens on, I'm trying to see a calendar in my head.
Thursday, June 22nd.
That's right.
For 2 weekends.
For some reason, in my old 80s adult brain.
Be careful there.
The 20th keeps coming into my head, and I don't know why, but
that's
it is.
That's probably dress rehearsal or something.
Yeah, it runs, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, and then 28, 29, and 1.
29th,
30th,
and 1.
29th, 30th,
My dad was a math teacher.
Excellent. Yeah. I am not a time lord. I do not know time. It's basically, I think if you've seen our shows over the years, it is an all-star cast. Like we said, David Hayes, who is playing Macduff in this, he was not in our original season in original show in 97, but he was in Much Ado About Nothing in 1998. So he's been, I guess, out of everyone in the cast, he's been there the longest.
Wow.
Okay. And then we have people, this is their first show with us as well.
Ooh, okay.
It's definitely an all-star. We have Corliss Hayes. If people in Charlotte theater circles know Corliss, she teaches at CPCC. She's an absolute beast of an actor. We've got a special cameo as the porter that we'll just leave it and you have to come and see.
Oh,
cool. Think who else? Robert Bradford, who has done a bunch of work in and around town, is playing Macbeth. Karen Cry, who is basically the female equivalent of Robert Bradford as far as like star power, Charlotte theater, you know, beast of an actress, is Lady Macbeth.
Okay.
Our witches are going to be unusual. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, we definitely have to go see it because I love that.
Yes. Oh, no. We're going.
And our Hecate Queen of the Witches is, and I don't know if you guys know Amy Hillard. She's worked with us few times. Just the fact that she is on stage with us for this show is a miracle. She was in a severe car wreck last July.
Oh, goodness.
And the fact that she can stand on her own two feet is amazing. Okay. So having her back with us is awesome. Trying to think what else. What other good things do I have to say about Macbeth? Other than it's all I can think about.
And it's this side of the Carolina Duke border.
Energy Theater.
So it's Duke Energy Theater, and you can go to carolinatix.org and search for it.
Tickets go on sale June 1st.
Yep.
And it's $20 for adults, $10 for students and seniors.
With ID.
With ID.
Damn.
Yeah. which I think is a bargain if you look at the price of other theaters in town.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a bargain.
We got to put your green screen together to do some of the visual stuff.
It's $10 an hour. I mean, you can't even get a stripper pole.
No, you can't. You can't get a stripper pole.
You really can't get into the movies anymore.
You can, but
you don't want to.
Yeah.
You don't want a $10 stripper. No, it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. But I mean, you think about it. It's like $10 for 60 minutes. That's less than a dollar.
And David and I are in the process of plotting crazy visuals. David will film and execute for us.
So do you call it the Scottish play when you're in the theater, or do you actually say Macbeth?
I haven't been to any of the rehearsals
out
yet.
Of respect for other actors that I will call, but I don't believe.
Yeah, I'm not a superstitious person generally, so
I've been known to tap dance across stages chanting Macbeth over and over again just to like scare people.
Wow.
But
I'm not above doing it.
Right. You know.
And your cast is a little bit, along with being a little more avant-garde in your actual set production, your cast is not limited by gender roles or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
And you really have a very diverse and,
eclectic.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the best person for the job.
Embracing way of doing theater. So yeah, you truly are not going to see, you know, I've been in theater where it's like, well, we need 10 guys. And so they get 10 guys,
no.
including the guy that was sitting outside waiting for a chance to go to the bathroom. So,
greatest performance.
Not really. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, it really is. You get really strong characters in there, and you don't limit it, which is great. And there are several theater troupes around that have embraced that kind of it's who's best for the role, not who best fits the suit. It's not a Johnny Bravo kind of moment. So, so Shakespeare Carolina, you've got Con Carolinas next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Macbeth in June, and then your fall performance is...
We've got, okay, so then in July,
The Complete Works of Shakespeare Bridge.
I know the play, but I don't know the dates, because I'm stupid.
No.
Right.
We'll link it.
We'll link
it. Yeah, Complete Works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, Revised. It's the new version of that.
Oh,
it's all 30-some-odd plays in 2 hours. The second act is all Hamlet all the time. Like six different ways the last time, backwards in under a minute.
Wow.
By three people. Mm-hmm. You know, three actors. It's Shakespeare meets vaudeville. It's sort of like Robin Williams on a coke bender.
So Robin Williams.
Woo.
Yeah.
alive Robin Williams.
Well, yeah.
Should now I, he's I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. That just reminded me of my joke that I texted you last night.
Yeah, don't.
I won't. We'll lose you listening. I'll tell you when the mic's off.
And, I don't know the ones in South Africa really love it. So.
Totally dedicated.
Yeah, iTunes doesn't have a warning for that.
So. No, I might offend the entire city of Manchester, England.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that. No, please not.
But what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Complete Works. A Bridge Revised. And then in August at Winthrop, at the amphitheater at Winthrop University. Oh, and Complete Works, A Bridge Revised is in the Black Box Theater in Johnson Hall at Winthrop.
Oh, okay.
Intimate, 90 seats. You know, everybody will get wet.
I already am.
Nice. I was going to say, are we still talking about the show?
Yeah. You know.
Hashtag, I already am, guys.
And, hashtag, everyone gets wet.
Right. That's right. And then you go to the amphitheater.
And you dry out.
And what show are you doing there?
Well, I think this is really, really exciting. It's a world premiere. Of The Man in the Iron Mask.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
It's a long, convoluted story, but we are finishing up an adaptation of a novel as we speak. David has actually been instrumental in that, as well as one of our performers and you know, colleagues, Amy Scheide, who was in... She was in Tartuffe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. She was in The Winter's Tale last year.
We interviewed her and Charles.
You did. That is correct. And
so go back and listen to Tartuffe, and you can listen to
it. So, David, you're doing the adaptation?
Nine times out of ten, I will take credit for just about anything. people keep trying to give me credit for this.
Sure. Okay.
And I sorely want to take it, but no. Amy Scheide has taken on the Herculean task of adapting the book, and I have mostly been there to go behind her and clean things up. So she's done the majority of the work, and she deserves the entirety of the credit. We had a read-through of her first act, I think it was about 2 months ago. No, a little over a month ago. Mm-hmm. And read through it. It was brilliant. And she's been sitting down and finishing the second act.
Oh, great.
And auditions for that are actually tonight.
As we speak, the first round of auditions is happening.
Yeah, today the 24th, and then another round of auditions Friday. And the callbacks will be this coming Friday the 26th.
Friday the 26th at 7 p.m. in Johnson Hall at Winthrop.
Okay. Yep.
I don't know if this will be out by then, but...
It'll be out,
round two, before round two.
Round two will be tomorrow.
Great.
Right,
and Charles Holmes is directing that.
Yes.
Doing the fight choreography. I'm sort of just bouncing around assisting people. I'm helping Amy with the script, and I'll be helping Charles with the fight choreography.
And taking credit.
And taking credit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We figured Charles was due to direct something anyway, and because it's such a fight-heavy show, might as well have the fight choreographer direct it.
Sure.
You know, and so he's really kind of grabbed a hold of it. And so I can't
Nelson
wait.
Or a half Nelson?
A full Nelson.
Okay.
Possibly a sleeper Nelson. Hold. Possibly
Whoa.
A sleeper hold.
Okay.
I don't know what any of those things are.
And I'm auditioning. So
and
it'll
I'm
be
the one that said Ted Bundy. I didn't
point
that out.
And I'm auditioning for Charles at some point this week.
Okay.
So it may, if I don't screw it up, be the first time in 3 years that I've acted for us.
2013.
Yeah, Frankenstein and Midsommar, whatever.
Midsommar was 12. Frankenstein was 13.
So 2013. So
I don't know when
you started. You started the troupe, and you can't even just like give me this part. You have to audition.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I don't tell my directors what to do. Maybe afterwards I'll cuss them out, but beforehand, you know, the directors we bring in, I don't, you know, I leave them alone. Give them the creative control.
Good.
And.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast and.
Yeah.
make sure to go to shakescar.org mm-hmm. and check out all the cool stuff you guys have going on. And make sure to join us at Con Carolinas next weekend.
Wait till Monday when I update the site.
Yeah. You have until tomorrow, sir. And Guardians of the Geekery will be at Shakespeare Carolina too, so make sure to come by and we'll have cool Wonder Woman stuff.
You mean Con Carolinas.
What did I say?
You said Shakespeare Carolinas.
I mean, you're welcome to come to that too, but
we'll probably be at that too, knowing Carolina. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, just come.
But you will be at Con Carolinas too, handing out cool stuff.
Yes. And you can come check out our live podcast on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. in what room?
The boardroom.
The boardroom. Yep. So there'll be seats for four.
There'll be seats for about 10. So if you want to listen to us, you can come listen to us. But if we have guests, you can sit on the floor.
Yeah.
Just listen to the podcast.
Just listen to the damn podcast.
Yeah,
just
stand out in the hallway and cheer. All right.
That's right.
Well, without any further ado,
I am pushing the button.
Listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com.
You have one job.
Find us on Facebook.
I was at work.
facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery.
And on
Twitter, @CITGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
You never hear me.
You always talk over me.
That's how you started your own damn podcast.
Probably.